We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And they probably should have gotten it done last year when they had their window. Do you guys disagree with that?
No. I mean, I don't think that you're being unfair or unkind to the situation that the NFC West has become. I mean, this is brutal out here, and the first 2 weeks have been brutal on this team's roster. They've had to throw it into survival mode way early on a schedule that looked like pad the W column. So the whole year got thrown, you know, right off center, just based on the fact that 15 guys on this roster are already listed as out or on the IR going into week three. Brandon, let's wrap up with this. Forget about the West. Forget about the Super Bowl. Forget about the playoffs. You can only win the game in front of you on your schedule. Are the Giants winning Sunday in New York?
I think the Giants can win. I picked the Niners to win. I picked the Giants to cover. And it's a pretty nominal spread, right around 3.5 points now. I think it's tight. I just don't see how the 49ers run away from anybody right now. And I think the Giants come out, you know, when you're 0-2, and, you know, you kind of see, you're seasoned and you have a new coach and you probably had a really spirited week of practice. I think the Giants play hard. They play hard against the Bears last week. They only lost by 10 to the Steelers. The Giants, let me put it this way. The Giants are not the Jets. The Giants actually have some talent. So if the Niners are sloppy or they get a bad call or they put one or two on the turf, the Niners can lose. But I have picked up to squeeze one out.
Brandon, good to talk to you, man. Good to catch up. Stay safe back east, New York. We love you. And it was good catching up with you, man.
Listen, it's always an honor. Thank you very much, Steve Bruce. You know, you got my number anytime you need me. Good having you. Thank you for having me on. And hopefully, with the wildfires, fires, everything that's going on out west, hopefully everybody's good and safe and doing well. I miss you guys. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Best with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Brandon Tierney here on 95.7 The Game, and welcome to your 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
I'll tell you, the one takeaway from that is this. He is right. This is not the New York Jets in a bluer uniform. The Jets were a borderline college or high school expression of football on a professional field that the New York Giants are not. Not quite. But I don't think I would be comfortable saying, yeah, I think the Niners are going to win, but the Giants are going to cover. I think the 49ers win this game. I don't want to say loudly, but I think that they are going to be in position to be comfortable and in control throughout the afternoon, even though we all know what the medical tent looks like.
I'm not convinced that the Giants are that much better than the Jets right now.
Agreed.
Without Barkley, without Shepard, you know, banged up all over the place. I think healthy, yeah, it's clear that the Jets are worse. But I think in their present state, the Giants might be almost as bad. They may not be as dispirited, and they may not be as seemingly baffled by their place in the world as the Jets are. But in terms of talent to put on the field, I don't think there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, they may be better coached as well. But I think if we're looking at who's coming out there to play football on Sunday, it is not a lot more talent than the Niners saw last weekend.
In about 10 minutes, we got Brian Baldinger breaking it all down for us, getting into a busy NFL Week 3. Until then, since we were just talking to Brandon, Mr. East Coast, let's keep it on the East Coast but switch sports to basketball for just a minute, because tonight could be the last game of the Eastern Conference Finals if the Miami Heat take care of their business against the Boston Celtics. Are we going to see another game, or does it end tonight? Can the Heat close it out? Do you think it's over?
I don't think it's over, but not because I think the Celtics are suddenly going to take control of this series. I think this series has been sort of explained by a couple of calls here, a couple of turnovers there. There hasn't been a lot of margin for error. And I think given the sort of world we're living in right now, I think the 3-1 lead is not...
The 3-1 lead isn't as impressive as your internet connection. Is that what you're trying to say, Ray, as you glitch? Once again, we love you. It's not about turning your mic on. It's get the internet running. It's not. Yeah. Look at it this way, Ray. So much of this show is your fault. This is not your fault.
See, I think Ray is right to a degree that there hasn't been a large margin. And, in fact, they've scored practically the same number of points over the course of the series. But I actually think that tells me there's a bigger gap here than you'd imagine, because what has happened is, in a series of close games, the Heat seem to figure it out every time, you know, minus one. But I kind of think that's evidence of an actual edge the Heat have, which is they are much stronger closers than the Celtics. And if they're going to play close games every time, I think that favors the Heat dramatically.
You know, they're both very defensive-focused basketball teams. It's in their DNA. But when you got to score some points, the Heat at it are just better at it. They really are. It feels like they are. Jimmy Buckets. I mean, I think I'd rather have him take a big shot than maybe anybody, just based on where he is in his career. Tatum maybe one day. Brown maybe one day.
Hero.
Exactly. Ray, have we got you back?
I've been back as far as I know, but apparently...
There he is.
What I can hear and what I can say are two different things.
No, hey, if I'm cutting you off, it's not because I don't like what you're saying. It's because we can no longer hear you because it went all gone.
Oh, no, no, no. I believe me, I would cut me off if I could figure out how to do it. No, this is just a counterpuncher's instinct that this series is not yet done, and that while I don't believe the Celtics are suddenly going to seize this the way Denver has seized its last two series, I have a feeling they'll pull one out tonight. You know, probably lose in six, but it just seems like that kind of series where a couple of more shots here and there. If Tatum isn't going 0-for-6 in the first half, they win game four. It's the margin to me is that thin. And I think this is just one of those games where the Celtics figure out how not to piss away a half.
I saw this. This is a monster number here. Going back to the Lakers are taking a 3-1 series lead now over the Nuggets. And, I mean, up 3-1 against the Nuggets, Denver's got you right where they want you, right? All those jokes aside, here is a statistic that is absolutely no joke at all. And it was amazing that we hadn't, or maybe the two of you have. I had not heard anything nearly along the lines of this. And this is such a loud statistic. It's something that I can't believe I hadn't heard before last night. The Lakers this year are now 52-0 when they have the lead after the third quarter. It's the best record in the shot clock era. You want to talk about closing? There you go. 52-0 leading after the third quarter.
Man, if I could show that to somebody criticizing LeBron for the way he plays at the end of games in like 2012.
Or the people who criticized Frank Vogel when he got hired. Frank Vogel can close. He closed when he was in Indiana with decent players. He understands that down the stretch, you don't try to get creative. If you've got a lead, he knows how to protect it. And he turns it over to the guys who are best able to protect it. They haven't really had a game that I can remember where somebody performed completely out of their minds, other than the two guys who sort of do that every night. So I think he just gets who's strong and who isn't.
We're getting right back to football coming up next. Brian Baldinger joining us on 95.7 The Game. Are you paid on a piece rate basis? Do you know that you might be entitled to separate pay for rest periods and non-productive time like meetings? Call the Workman Law Firm for a free consultation about your rights. 844-99-WORKMAN or online at callworkmanlaw.com. Brian Baldinger, around the corner. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Our pal Brian Baldinger is sponsored by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, shipped directly to your door. You can order now at snakeriverfarms.com. We got a video up on our social media page about the butcher boy being in Jerry Rice's backyard cooking some American, some of the Wagyu by Snake River Farms. Look at that, Baldy. You were eating just like the greatest wide receiver of all time. Isn't that nice?
I mean, I am honored to be mentioned in the same company as the great Jerry Rice.
Oh, no. He's doing the sponsor was set up and the cell phone's cutting out. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. It is incredible beef, though. Get yourself some and eat it, and it's really good.
It really is. I had my butcher experience elevating my tailgate, and holy Moses, the meat. Oh, my goodness.
I heard Baldy has moved, hopefully not too far. Baldy, how are you, pal?
I'm good, Damon. I'm good. So, these cell phones are a little finicky sometimes, you know?
They certainly are.
Got to find the right spot.
Well, you're in the right spot now because we can hear you loud and clear. So, 49ers got themselves a built-in headache going into an otherwise winnable game. How do you think this thing plays out, just knowing what we know about who isn't there? It's tough to win games without your first two running backs, your quarterback, your best defensive lineman, your best corner. It's pretty ridiculous what has happened to this team so far through just 2 weeks of football.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know that I've seen a team hit this hard, this quick, with so many important players. I mean, they lost Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas within about four plays of each other. I mean, it was just bam, bam. But it really, I mean, I think you're going to find out just what kind of team it is. You know, these teams have 69-man rosters now. I mean, they need a 69-man roster. But it really goes to coaching, the front office. We're going to find out a lot about the team, but I have a feeling the team will rally around the players that are on the field, and they will play. The players that are there are going to play well. Now, there's no mistaking. There's no answer for Nick Bosa in the loss of Nick. Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, you're not going to fill those shoes. But I have a feeling that they're going to play well nonetheless. The Giants are not a good football team. Fundamentally, they're not sound. And the 49ers are, I think, a well-coached team. I think you're going to see that this Sunday.
If there are any stylistic things that you see in this game that would deviate from normal 49er behaviors, what would they be?
Well, I mean, I think that they're going to run the football just fine. I mean, the Giants are good against the run because their strongest position is defensive tackle. But they're really kind of built to have teams that come right at them where they can kind of stack them up with Dalvin Tomlinson and Dexter Lawrence and Lawrence Williams. I mean, the whole group of them. But the way the 49ers run it with their zone stretch and really the law of expanding angles to get technical, I didn't think it's going to bother the Giants. And so they play a diamond look where they play cover up the inside three defensive linemen, and they play Blake Martinez at middle linebacker. It's the same. It's literally the same look that they saw against the Green Bay Packers with the same middle linebacker, just kind of a diamond look. And they carved the Packers up twice, and they're going to get that look on Sunday. And I expect them, I mean, stylistically, Ray, I think they're going to attack them really well. I mean, the one thing you could say last week is Derek McKinnon looked like he missed football for 2 years. He played well, and I expect him to play well.
All right, with Nick Mullins in the game, we've talked a lot about all the things he can't do like Garoppolo. Is there anything he does maybe better that Shanahan can take advantage of?
Well, I mean, I think he's, you know, his favorite receiver is going to be the open receiver. I think he goes through his progressions really well. I mean, we saw that his rookie year when he beat out, you know, Beathard. And you saw, I think it was the Raiders, the first game that he played. He played well. I think he's really good with being very attention to detail to all of his ball fakes and how important they are to the offense. He carries them out really well, which is really confusing to the defense at times. And so, you know, and we're just not talking about the same arm that Jimmy Garoppolo has, the same whip that he has, so being able to release it, you know, under pressure the same. But, you know, I mean, it's not a bad number two that they have. He's got experience. He's played in big games before. He's played on the road. I mean, he's not a bad number two to have right now in that offense.
No, I think for a one-game engagement, if that's what it is, two games, he's very well-suited as a backup quarterback. It's when you ask him to take the final 11 games of a season or whatever it is because Jimmy tore his whatever. I mean, that's when you run into problems.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's probably not a starting quarterback. But, you know, your backup quarterback has got to come in like he did last week. He's got to play well, and he's got to be able to start games and win games. Otherwise, there's no purpose to having a guy.
Brian Baldinger here on 90.
You know, but really, you need a guy to come in and win games. This is a very winnable game. They need this game to stay, you know, in a very tough division right now. They need him to come in and play well. They can't lose to the Giants on Sunday.
Brian Baldinger, our pal here on 95.7 The Game. Since we're talking quarterbacks, let's talk a little bit about Daniel Jones, who, you know, obviously lost a very important target in Saquon Barkley and in Sterling Shepard, but he still has Evan Engram, the tight end. He's still got Darius Slayton, and Golden Tate has been a headache once or twice in his career, no pun intended. So what happens if Danny Dimes just goes bonkers on Sunday?
He's capable. I mean, he's a very good player. He really understands the offense. He understands who he's looking at. They're just not very good around him. The offensive line is not very good. They're not fundamentally sound at all. It's hard to watch him, to be honest with you. I mean, but that being said, that guy is as tough as Eli Manning. I mean, he takes a hit, never says a word. He's a very good athlete. He can take off with it and convert third downs into first downs. I'm sure he'll be involved in some way in the running game. He should. Darius Slayton is a guy that can run by anybody in this league. Yeah, I mean, you got to just understand what his route tree is. It's limited. It's kind of go routes and comebacks. It's not a full tree, but he's the one. He's the run home. He's a legit home run hitter, though. He's a guy that you have to pay attention to. He's got. I asked him one day, like, just how fast he is, and he goes, "Dude, I got Auburn speed." Like, I don't know what that means exactly, Damon, but he's got Auburn speed. I guess when you go to Auburn, like, you got to be able to burn a 3-4-3 to get on the field, and he's got that.
Make a case for the Giants winning that doesn't include the phrase "anything can happen in football."
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the first thing you got to have to do in this whole business is take care of the football, and so possessions are vitally important. You can't give the Giants a short field. You can't give them any reason to believe that they can win the game. You got to take the fight out of them, but I won't say any given Sunday, but if you are sloppy with the football, then the Giants can win the game. I mean, if they're plus two at the end of the day in turnover margin, as really, you know, to lose Shepard and to lose Saquon like that, I mean, those are the two best players on their offense outside the quarterback. So, you know, they've been hurt as well. But if you give them a plus two in the turnover ratio, if you give them a bad special teams play the way the Falcons gave one to the Cowboys, and they gave them that possession at the end of the game, just inexcusably not covering an onside kick, those kind of things can really snowball very quickly into a giant victory.
I know we've only seen two games, but what do you make of Joe Judge as a head coach?
Well, it's a small sample, but I mean, I thought they would be further along fundamentally than they are. Like David Montgomery caught a screen pass last week, David, right? It was really just kind of a check down to the sideline. And I counted seven looks on the play. Now, the last thing I expected under Joe Judge is to have players not go full speed. David Montgomery scored on the play. In Chicago, his offense is just miserable to watch. But he scored on that screen, and I sat there. I actually texted the video to Carl Banks, and I go, what would Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick do? You know, because I know Joe Judge runs his players when they miss assignments and jump off sides. Like, I don't know, like, how long you can run guys, but that was an embarrassing performance. And so that's on Joe Judge. Like, he's not getting the very best out of him. And, like, I wanted to post it, but then I'm like, it's two games in. Let's just give him another game. But that was unsatisfactory. I don't know how he handled that, but it was embarrassing to watch. So I expected them to be, at least from an effort standpoint and a fundamental standpoint, to be further along than they are, and they just aren't.
Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. So let's talk about another guy who has Auburn speed, and that's Cam Newton, who has solved many of the, or at least answered an awful lot of questions about what's the post-Brady era going to look like in just a couple of games here. And now the Raiders are a little bit more interesting than anyone really wanted to admit they might be earlier in the year. What looked like a good luck with that game when the schedule came out might be one of the better games of the weekend.
There's six great games this weekend. I mean, great games on any level, and this is one of them. And really, it just goes to show you how important coaching is, because Cam Newton has really been coached. I've never seen him play like this ever. Even when he was the MVP of the league, he didn't play with the fundamentals that he's playing with now. He's following through on his balls. He's stepping into it. He's got two hands on a football. He's throwing short area routes that he was never accurate on, and because his fundamentals and techniques are sound, he's completing 70% of his passes. Cam Newton, I mean, if he was completing 60% of his passes, that was like a milestone. He's at 70% right now and had a darn good chance to beat Seattle at the end of the game. The Raiders, look, that performance by the Raiders on Monday night was fabulous. Derek Carr was fabulous. Darren Waller is like every quarterback, I don't care what system you're in, they need a guy, a dog, that can just win. Third downs, red zone. You need a play. You got to stay on the field. Darren Waller's that guy for him right now. And teams in New Orleans is a very good defense, and they're more than capable of taking away your best player or your best option, and they couldn't do it. And it was real credit to Waller and to Gruden, how they moved him around. They did it with a backup to the backup right tackle and a backup left guard and on and on and on. And they went down to New Orleans and they outplayed them. And they shut the Saints out in the second half of that game. It was really impressive.
Jumping back to Cam Newton quickly, when you say he really got coached up, his fundamentals look great. I mean, I don't think of that as being really the head coach's area. So is that a quarterback coach? I mean, do you credit Belichick? Who gets credit for that?
Well, Josh McDaniels gets a lot of credit. People probably thought that Cam would resist like hard coaching. No, this is where your feet got to be. This is the discipline that he's playing with right now, because he does not have a great supporting cast at all. But it doesn't matter. I mean, Demir Byrd looks like a go-to guy. I mean, he's been around the league for 5 years and never caught six passes in a game like he did last week. But you can see the timing. I mean, that's Josh McDaniels. It's Belichick going, this is the way we do things. And it's clear Cam has completely bought it. In fact, you know, a couple of players were saying on the six-hour flight from Logan to a SeaTac airport in Seattle, like he was in the playbook for six straight hours. And he's recharged. The Patriots are recharged. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's just going to be fun to watch because they're doing it a completely different way. In some ways, some parts of the offense are just what Brady ran too. But, heck, they didn't even throw it to Edelman at the beginning of the game. They went other places. He was even on the field to begin the game. They went other ways. And so the team is being reborn, and Cam Newton's a big part of it.
You'd referred to the Saints as a very good defense. New England was a very good defense for much of the year last year. Are they good enough to make the Raiders look different than they did a week ago?
Yeah, they are. I mean, because it'll be interesting to see who takes Waller. Like, But they could put J.C. Jackson on him. He's covered Travis Kelce before. They like him against big flex tight ends like Waller. But I have a feeling Stephon Gilmore wants it. Now, maybe they put him on Ruggs because he can flat out run with the best of them. And he knows that Ruggs has a limited, you know, experience out. I mean, he'll just see all the flaws in Henry Ruggs as soon as he steps on the field. But I have a feeling Gilmore wants Darren Waller, even though he's 6 inches shorter. Like, I think that might be a fun matchup, a game within a game to watch. You know, Adrian Phillips was the first-team All-Pro safety 2 years ago with the Chargers. He's starting at safety for Patrick Chung. He's a good football player. Chase Winovich is your basic, typical Patriot player, just full effort all the time and knows how to play. I mean, they kind of rebuilt it, but they kind of play the same way that they've always played right now.
Brian Baldinger here. You talk about the six great games this weekend, and look, we all got the local interest of Niners-Jets, but that really isn't even one of them. I mean, there are some real heavyweights out here. Cowboys-Seahawks, obviously. Packers-Saints is going to be a big one. The Rams are going all the way to take on the Bills this weekend. But the best really is, I mean, it's like an old-school schedule where the marquee game is the Monday nighter, Chiefs-Ravens. Set that up for us.
Yeah, and I was at SoFi Stadium last week, Damon, to watch the Chiefs against the Chargers. And they were on the ropes for almost, you know, the whole game, up until a 58-yard field goal at the end. But, you know, these games, I mean, there's just no energy in these stadiums. And so Kansas City literally looked like they sleptwalked for 2.5 quarters, including the MVP of the league, Patrick Mahomes. And even in the last quarter and a half, when he woke up, they were unstoppable. I watched the Ravens last week go to Houston, and I think I'm using the right adjective here, but they bludgeoned the Houston Texans. I mean, they just bludgeon you with just power and, you know, power football and four running backs, including Lamar. And Lamar's running out of bounds this year. He's getting down. He's protecting himself, which is a good thing. It's just two different systems that are very well coached, are playing at a very high level in a league where a lot of teams are really struggling. But they came out of the gates really hot, both teams, I think, are better than they were a year ago. And so, I mean, it may be just a prelude to the AFC Championship game here on Monday night.
You said there were six great games, and I don't think there's any question that they're six very intriguing ones. But there's one that is god-awful, and that is Bengals-Eagles. So the question becomes, how many beers would you have to drink before you would consent to watch that?
Ray, I'm doing that game on Sunday now. You know, they're sending you that.
Oh, my God.
Did you get crossways with a boss?
Well, no, because this stuff is kind of set a couple weeks in advance. So, you know, before the season started, they asked me week 3, do you want to go to Buffalo, the Rams of Buffalo, or do you want to see the Eagles in Cincinnati? So I figured the Eagles would be 2-0, and I get to see Joe Burrow, and it would be great. And now, you're right. I mean, Carson Wentz is a mess. His fundamentals are as bad as you can get right now. And so the offensive line protected him really well last week, and he was just awful in their performance against the Rams. And Cincinnati has at least been competitive. They at least moved the football. They had a very good chance to win week 1 against the Chargers. Joe Burrow hit A.J. Green at the last play of the game for a touchdown, the winning touchdown, and they called offensive pass interference, which was a bizarre call to everybody, but, you know, that's what it was. So, but, you know, Joe Burrow is, you know, you can see the talent. I mean, it's there. They got to have a better offensive line in front of them, but, you know, you can see that it could really be the beginning of something good with him. He's going to be a good player in this league.
Let me tell you what's going to be great about the Bengals-Eagles game. Brian Baldinger will be great about that game. There's
right.
No doubt in my mind.
So, in other words,
I'm going to make it the game of the week. Listen, I'm going to make it the game of the week. I mean, I've got more material for this game. Like, I mean, I'm ready. I could do a doubleheader on Sunday for this game. I'm ready.
Hey, so I got to ask you, only because, you know, you saw it with your own two eyes, and you don't really get a feel for a stadium until there's a crowd in there, too. But what was your impression of SoFi? Could you see the $5 billion everywhere you looked?
I'm not going to throw hyperbole at this, but I'm going to do it. It's the single nicest building I've ever been in my life. I mean, I literally wanted to get a pillow and just curl up and watch one of the 10,000 TVs in there and watch the Sunday night game. That's what I wanted to do. Order a pizza, get a pillow, and just, I mean, I could live in that place. It's so nice. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I want to see it at night. You know, I saw it in broad daylight. It was a beautiful day in Los Angeles. But I'd love to see it at night, too. I mean,
Brian,
it's spectacular.
Thank you so much for joining us, brother. Always great to talk to you. Really appreciate your time. And have a wonderful time calling the game of the week this weekend.
Thanks, David. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
There he is, Brian Baldinger, brought to you by Snake River Farms. You can order yours now at snakeriverfarms.com. Great stuff. Great stuff with Brian. Let me tell you, Ray, when you want to hit the bullseye, you really do.
But
worst game of the week. That's where I'm going.
He didn't answer the question, though.
No. Well,
I mean, he really should have said, I plan to be so drunk for that game that I probably will never work again.
How about that? I think the honest answer would have been, well, you'd have to pay me at a network level to be there, which they are. So that is at least the good news for Brian Baldinger. Man, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. So the greatest building I've ever been in. That's quite a compliment. That really is.
It is. But are you surprised?
Well, not, I don't know. I mean, I haven't been in it yet. I look at it this way. No one has ever been to Levi's Stadium and said, that's the greatest building I've ever been in.
That's true, but Levi's also did not cost $7 billion or whatever, and it's not brand new. Granted, when it was new, it still wasn't the nicest building you've ever been in, but it never looked like it on TV either, right? Like, when I look at that on television, when I saw it on Hard Knocks, everything about it screams incredible to me,
yeah,
you know, as far as stadiums go. So I'm not surprised.
It looks really, really special. There's no doubt. I'm looking forward to going to a game down there as soon as, you know, what was it? It was the Chargers game last week. And Jillian was stuck in the room with me watching a little bit of it. And she was like, I would go to a game down there. I'm like, oh, would you, honey? It's only a $5 billion stadium. That's what a sacrifice you're making.
Slumming it.
Yeah, really, really. The first time I ever saw $1 billion transformed into a construction project with my own two eyes is the year Aria opened on the Las Vegas Strip. I walked into that hotel and immediately turned to my friend who I was with, and I said, okay, I see the $1 billion. You can just see it as soon as you walk in there. I'd love to see what a $5 billion football stadium looks like in person, and I will. I will be getting down there eventually. I smell a remote, fellas.
Like someone brought a remote into the room with you, or
yeah,
no, we're going to we definitely
oh,
know
a
the
remote
right people
broadcast.
To make this happen. A remote broadcast, yes.
It's been so long since I left the house; it didn't even occur to me that we might broadcast somewhere else.
You thought I meant like remote control, like
yeah. I thought you were about to like talk about all the different things on TV tonight. Like you're gonna need your remote.
That's great. No. I'm talking about a radio remote, and I hate radio remotes, but I'd go there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jeez, way to fall on a grenade to save the platoon.
Hey, I'm here for you. Here for you, Sarge.
Here's one thing about stadiums, though. Part of the experience is getting in and out of them. And until we know how well you can do that there and how well you can do that out of Allegiant, I think it's amazing looking incomplete, because I think the biggest complaint about Levi's from the start was it's a nightmare to get there and it's a nightmare to leave there. And I think that colors a lot of judgments.
It does. I know this. When Jed York decided to build a brand new stadium, it was to remove his stadium from being the fourth best stadium in his own division. It's still the fourth best stadium in his own division. Oh.
Well, in fairness, it was third best until this year.
Yeah, but you had to go to the, you know, Coliseum, which was built in World War I, for goodness sakes. Anyways, we got to take a real quick break, and when we come on back, it is nothing short of our longest commercial-free segment of the entire day, so you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to go over everything. We're going to give you the entire world of sports in the next 45 minutes, and then after that, we got a Kolsky's Corner and a great couple of ideas to wrap up your weekend. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Boat in your wading pool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Good to have you here if you just joined us. Boy, did you pick the right time. It's our longest commercial-free segment of the entire day. I love this segment. Welcome to it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We got an awful lot of stuff to go over here. Ray, let's start with making you even more miserable than usual. How about this news just for you? The NFL has decided that pumped-in crowd noise, which for the last 2 weeks has been at a 70 decibel level, now gets to go to 80. 80 decibels is the new standard, and Tom Pelissero files the report that if you're using the crowd noise, you are not allowed to have it at 80 when your team is playing defense and then bring it on down to like 40 for the crowd just murmur, but not nearly as loud when you're on offense. If you're kissing 80 decibels, you got to kiss the 80 decibels the entire game. Fair
Why?
Or foul?
Well, I don't get it.
I don't either.
Why?
I don't either. Doesn't that... It literally slaps the concept of crowd noise in the face.
I mean, I think the main reason they want it is just so you can't literally hear every word that's said on the opposing sideline. So fair enough. But, I mean, 70 decibels is nothing. 80 decibels is barely anything. What's so wrong with turning it up and then down? Like, it's not like 80 is Seattle at full volume. Like, 80 is... they'll still be able to hear each other just fine. So why not let there be some dynamics?
Oh, I love the fact that they can't get this right and it's already week three. Are you kidding? This is great. This is basically what happens when you gather people in a room and say, okay, for the next 3 hours, overthink a problem. It's perfect. It's so NFL. It's why the rule book is the way it is. It's because there are too many people thinking who shouldn't be allowed by law to think.
We've been asking four big questions about the 49ers all day. We actually punted because we were talking to Brian Baldinger on question number three. I'd kind of like to get it in right now. And it's of all my questions, it's the goofiest. But there is a little something to it if you want to put a little something into it. Question number one was which rookie would have a bigger day taking the Niners further? Brandon Ayuk or Javon Kinlaw? It was a good debate. I think we all agree both players having a good day gets them further. But Kinlaw, maybe, just because if you can quiet down an already muted rushing attack and really frustrate their quarterback coming right up the middle, that feels like a good path to victory. We then talked about Eric Armstead. If he didn't get double teamed, would that be a little bit of an indictment on the player he is, considering the talent that was lost around him? And who will be out there with him? With all due respect to who's going to be out there with him, none of them were NFL starters before being thrust into that action due to all the injuries. He makes the pay an awful lot of attention to me level of paycheck. We debated that one. Question number three. Who, gentlemen, do you think is most responsible for dominating the controllables on Sunday?
That's an inside DRK drop, if ever there was.
Dominate your controllables. Dominate your controllables.
Thank you.
Every time I see DRK, I think dork. And I think this meets the bill.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. DRK sounds like a steakhouse.
Dominate your controllables.
I would say McKinnon.
And how about an explanation?
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't ask for that. You just asked for a name. I think McKinnon, because I think he is now their most important offensive player other than the quarterback, for the foreseeable future. And I don't need him to carry the ball 30 times. I don't think that would be allowed. But I think touching it 25 is well within reason. And I think this is the moment where you find out how much running back depth you really have. Because if you don't, you know, if he's not able to run on this team, then you have questions when the schedule gets more difficult. So, yeah, I think this is a moment where Jerick McKinnon with 25 touches can establish things that the 49ers can use down the stretch.
Give me the exact question again. I want to make sure I'm answering the right thing.
Who is most responsible for dominating the controllables?
Okay. I think... So the way I'm thinking about this is the controllables as a whole, right? So to me, it's one person who can affect the most of them. And that's why I kind of think it's Kyle Shanahan. You're the head coach. There are certain things about playing a very bad football team that should allow you to execute at a basic level. Like, the key to winning this game is not razzle-dazzle. The key to winning this game is do your job, right? Classic Bill Belichick, Tom Thibodeau stuff. Do your job. And to me, it's Kyle Shanahan's responsibility to make sure everyone who is on the field does their job. Those are the controllables.
I think that Kyle Shanahan is the most important San Francisco 49er. I thought that about him. When I thought that about him before a single guy went down with a single injury. Kyle Shanahan is as important to the Niners, if he is who we think he is, as Bill Belichick is to the New England Patriots. And it's so funny that you said do your job, because Shanahan, and I was thinking, you know, who dominates as a coach week in, week out? It is truly Bill Belichick. But as soon as the game starts, the only thing you can do is tell your quarterback what you want and hope that you get it. I got it, Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins, here's what you can control. Do not fumble. Do not have a problem with the center quarterback exchange. Do not make a bad choice that puts your team in jeopardy because you threw it up for a gimme ball. Throw it away. When in doubt, throw it away. Throw it away. Living to fight another down is the easiest way, I think, to win this game instead of trying to force something. Certain players have earned he's got the right to force it. He's got the arm. He's got the talent. He's got the right situation. He's got enough house credit where he can gamble right here. Like, if there's not a single interception Aaron Rodgers will ever throw where you're going to be like, man, that guy, he's allowed. I mean, Brett Favre was an interception machine, but he was allowed because that's who he was. Don't try to go gunslinger. Control the game. Total game manager, Nick Mullins. That's it. That was good. I'm glad you followed along for the spirit of the question. Obviously, dominating the controllables is the person riding the 70 to 80 decibel level meter in MetLife Stadium DJ. Look, if the Niners' DNA is what we think it is, and I do think they have a culture. I really do. I think we've seen it when they won. I think we've seen it when they lost. I think we've seen it this offseason recovering from a brutal Super Bowl defeat. The way the guys talk, the way the guys act, like there's a buy-in to what Shanahan sells week in and week out. And it's a buy-in from everybody. Trust. There is a level of trust on this team, and it feels like the coaches have that trust reflected in the players that get less attention because they're lesser spots on the roster, but you never know when it's going to be your day. So let's see what you got, fellas. Let's see it. This team coming into this game has the 7th best rushing attack in the NFL through 2 games. They're averaging 5.65 yards, which is the 3rd best on the ground per carry through 2 games. They're the only team in the NFL with 3 players that have scored 2 touchdowns or more. And believe it or not, 2 of them are still available. Jordan Reed and Jerick McKinnon are 2 of the 3, Raheem Mostert being the 3rd. Punter Mitch Wisnowski. This guy is the tip of the spear. Do you realize that he has put 5 punts inside the 20 which is tied for the third best accuracy in terms of pinning teams inside the 20 in the NFL right now. He needs to be Johnny on the spot. No blocks. I mean, you're probably 2-0 if not for the block punt in week one. That's how important he is.
See, but that's not on him.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, we talked about this at the time, and you guys gave me a hard time for saying he had been good in that game because he got a punt blocked. And look, I get it, but he really has been good all year. I can't remember a single punt where I wasn't like, all right, that's good.
In order for it to be a good day for your special teams, it has to be a good day across the board. The special teams either gets an A or an F. There is no B,
that's fair.
B, C. Yeah, that's the way I look at it anyways.
Yeah, I don't remember having an opinion on Wisnowski, so I'll take your word for it. I probably did say something stupid, but I hadn't really delved into their special teams at all to any degree. So
the point is just Mitch Wisnowski is having a very good year. And in a game that I think we all expect to be relatively low scoring, that's likely to be a factor.
Since the start of last year, only the Saints and the Ravens have eclipsed the 30-point mark more often than the 49ers, who have done it 9 times in that clip. So we'll see what their point total looks like. Defensively, though, they're allowing only 198.5 yards per game. That's good for 4th in the NFL so far. Now, this is a little bit of a misleading stat because of the top 3, 2 teams are atrocious. The top 3 teams ahead of them in passing yards allowed or prevented, shall we say, since it's like golf. The lower the number, the better the score. Believe it or not, it's the New York Giants. It's the Houston Texans, and it's the Indianapolis Colts. Those 3 teams with the best passing defense so far have a combined record of 1-5. So I don't even know what that means anymore because I thought it was a pass first, second, and third league.
Doesn't that mean that teams stopped passing because they were beating the hell out of them?
It might.
Well, except that the Colts, you know, they're 1-1, and they did not have, you know, much of a struggle against the Vikings last week, but they did give up a lot in week one against Jacksonville. So I'm not sure what I think we know even
less.
Well,
yeah,
than we
you're
thought.
Right. That one is just about how abjectly embarrassing the Vikings were last week. The Vikings last week were an apocalypse.
And I will tell you that given that the fact that the Colts play the Jets this week, their numbers are likely to spike again.
By the way, remember, Matt, last year where you were talking about how awful you thought Kirk Cousins was, and I was like, whoa, slow that down just a little. I won't do that again.
Speed it up.
I won't do that again, I promise. Welcome, everybody, to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
There is a little something about history that is hard to repeat, hard to ignore, although it shouldn't affect the game. There is also this working against the Niners beyond all of the injuries and all of the pressure and blah, blah, blah. Everything that we've discussed all week, there's also this. The Niners are trying to pull off a trick that's only been done 3 other times in NFL history. The trick is win back-to-back road games in the same stadium. You wouldn't think it would be that difficult, but indeed it is. So MetLife Stadium, Giants Stadium, has always been the scene of the crime. This is another Josh Dubow who joined us earlier today, Butte. The 49ers are trying to become just the 4th team since the merger to win road games in back-to-back weeks at the same stadium. There are other examples where teams have won back-to-back games, but there's been a bye week tucked in between, which means you could go home, you could practice, you could prep. So it's not nearly quite what this situation is. The Bills did it just last week because the Bills picked up their first 2 wins of the season, playing weeks 1 and 2 against the Jets and the Giants just last year. The 2006 Chicago Bears, weeks 10 and 11 at Giants Stadium. The 1999 Washington football team, weeks 2 and 3 at Giants Stadium. And oh, by the way, I have a note on the Washington football team that I need to share with you guys before the end of this hour because it's beautiful. There's another thing. Have you seen? There was a guy wearing a NFC East t-shirt, and it said, Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, football team. It was great.
That's pretty good.
It was so good, they should almost stick with it.
Actually, since you brought that up, there have been rumors out of Washington that Danny Snyder might be thinking about that. Because every time something leaks out about a possible nickname, somebody runs and trademarks it before the team does, which is why it has taken as long as it has for them to even sort of approach this subject with any degree of urgency. So they might do that just so that they don't have to pay a guy $5 million.
But for a really good team nickname, what's $5 million? You'll make it all back on jersey sales within the first 10 minutes.
That's your logic. That's not his logic. His logic is not only I don't want to spend the $5 million. It's I don't want some schmo in the public to make me look stupid. Because everything he's ever done since he bought this team is about I don't want to be made to look ridiculous. And all he's ever done since he's bought this team is look ridiculous. So I think that's what it is more than the money. I think it just, I don't want to have to, you know, pay somebody to name my football team because he didn't want to change the name in the first place. He was forced to. So I think all of this is about Danny Snyder being hypersensitive to the fact that everybody knows that he's Danny Snyder.
Thanks for calling him Danny, by the way. That puts him right in the spot. I like it. He should be. Do you know that if you wanted to walk past him and call him Dan Snyder?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.